Amen. Right. God bless you, Mom. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Mom. Philippians chapter number 2 tonight. Thank you, Miss Janice. Enjoyed that singing tonight. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2. I know we've got activities going on after church, but let's not look to that tonight. Amen. Let's take care of the matter at hand, and let's not be in a hurry, and let's allow the Lord to speak to our heart. Sometimes I'm afraid in church, give me just a second, Edwina. Sometimes I'm afraid in church we get looking forward. I used to fish tournaments. That was my hobby. I wanted to do it for a living. And it dawned on me one day, I wasn't fishing effectively the stump I was at because I was thinking about the stump that was right down the bank. In other words, we need to stay right where we are and get everything that's there. Before we worry about what's coming up next. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Go ahead, Miss Edwina. That's all right, sis. Woo! Yep. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. God bless you all. Amen. Hallelujah. 17 years ago. Amen, sis. 17 years ago on a Sunday night just like this. After her little niece, Sister Gina, Brother Randy Massey's wife, said, pray for my Aunt Edwina. Here's what she said. She's so wicked. And she didn't mean that. She wasn't being cruel.
That's right.
She was heartbroken for her Aunt Edwina. The next Sunday night, she come down on this side of our church in the old building. And I heard her. I heard her cry out to God.
Amen,
I was thinking while she was testifying, Brother Freddie, if my ministry never produced anything but one Edwina Connell, I'd have to say thank you, God, for using me. Amen. And I mean that, sis, from the bottom of my heart. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. I've been wanting, we're just going to look at a collection of scriptures tonight and we'll go sell cake. Yes, sir. Yeah, Philippians, right? What did I just say?
Ephesians.
Well, it's after Ephesians, okay. Thank you, Jeremiah. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Amen. Good bunch, man. I'm telling you what, brother. I don't know what we have created. Amen? Since they started the Biggest Loser contest. I've had a desire to preach on the Biggest Loser. And I told my wife today, I said, the Lord finally gave me a message on that, and Lord willing, I'm going to preach it tonight. You get the idea that this Biggest Loser program is only for certain people in our church, and I won't say what kind of people, but just a certain class of people. Sometimes you feel left out of things. But tonight I want to preach a message that would enable all of us to get involved in being the Biggest Loser. I thought about losing weight, Brother Shane. It takes discipline. Amen? It takes discipline. Did you know the number one New Year's resolution every year is losing weight? Number one. Number two is to stop smoking cigarettes. Number one is to lose weight. So many people have good intentions, but they don't have the discipline to go with that good intention. So to be a good Christian tonight, I want to tell you, it takes discipline. We make up our mind, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to set aside a certain time every day to pray. I'm going to do this. Everybody who's saved has a desire to be what we would consider a good Christian. I wonder how many of us raise our hand real high and say, I fail real bad at it. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if it's because we lack discipline. Anything you want to do that has a resistance to it, it takes discipline to do it. If you're going to exercise, ride a bike, run, jog, whatever it may be, brother, that's hard work. Amen. And I don't care what these televangelists want to tell you. It's hard work to do right, to stay right. It's something you got to stay on top of all the time. Amen. To lose weight requires discipline. It requires a burden. In Rusty's case, a heavy burden. I ain't letting up. Amen. It requires a burden, doesn't it? I mean, it's something you've got to want. Amen. You know how close you are to God tonight? I'm going to tell you. You don't have to answer me. I'm going to tell you right now how close you are to God. You're as close to God as you want to be. Amen. God has never said, whoa, back off. You're getting a little bit too close. He doesn't do that. He'll let you get as close as you want to. By the way, every step you take toward Him, He'll take one toward you. Amen. I believe the Bible still says draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Let me show you the difference. This is about as far as I can step toward Him. I wonder how big His step is. Amen. I may be making my little feeble effort, but then He matches it with His effort. Hallelujah. Woo! Before you know it, me and God's just like that. Amen. It takes a desire to lose weight. It takes a burden. I mean, brother, you got to want it. If you're going to live for God, you got to want it. If you want Bible knowledge, you got to want it. If you want to be a soul winner, you got to want it. If you want to be a prayer warrior, you got to want it. Ask your question tonight, what do you want? Amen. You happy with just getting by? You happy with just God keeping your marriage intact? You happy with just being healthy, or do you want more out of your Christian life? Amen. To lose weight, you've got to have discipline, and you've got to want it. Listen, then to lose weight, listen, it requires an education. It requires an education. Do you know why one of the money-makingest schemes in America is to come up with a weight loss plan? Here, now here's what everybody wants. Everybody wants a weight loss pill. Yeah. Brother Danny said it'd be nice. Everybody wants a weight loss pill. Do you know what I think? I think they're dangerous. Yeah. I think they're ineffective. Yeah. I think they're unhealthy. Yeah. Let me tell you why. There ain't no quick fix.
That's right.
Same thing. Wouldn't it be good if we had a pill we could take and just live right tomorrow? Amen. I'm going to take this, Brother Charles. I've come up with this new formula. And if you'll take this twice a day for 6 weeks, you will be a spiritual giant.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't that be easy?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm sorry, there is no pill.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a pill to get you in. That's the gospel. Amen. Yeah. But there ain't no pill to make you live right. There ain't no pill to make you pray. There ain't no pill to make you witness. There ain't no pill to make you faithful to church. There ain't no pill to make you tithe. Believe me, if there was, I'd buy it for the whole church.
Yeah.
Amen. There's not appeal.
Amen.
But there are a lot of plans.
Amen.
There's a Hollywood diet. There's the Atkins diet. I don't know. I can't name all of them. Huh? South Beach diet. Weight Watchers, that's right, Slim Fast. I mean, brother, you go to the store and go to the weight loss drink section. I mean, it's huge. This is big business. Listen to me carefully. People want to lose weight. And with that desire, they want somebody to tell them how to do it. Brother Rusty has a desire to lose weight. You know what he did? He got Brother Danny somebody who's already done it.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
He's lost 168 pounds. Now, if I wanted to lose weight and I was Brother Rusty, I wouldn't go to Brother Jason and say, Brother Jason, can you tell me how to lose weight? Amen? Amen. In other words, I'm saying fat people don't need to get their advice from fat people. Amen. Y'all all right? Listen to me carefully. I'm saying weight loss involves an education. So does living for God. If we want to live for God, we need to get somebody who lives for God to tell us how to do and how to live and how to pray. Are you listening to me? That would involve Sunday school. Am I right about it? Amen. That would involve some Bible study. Amen. It involves an education. Listen, when I got saved, Brother Freddie, it blew my mind when the preacher started preaching and opening up the Word of God to me. I'd be like, wow, man, never seen anything. Why did he get that? You know, does that ever hit you?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And I started learning things. My wife and my little baby daughter, they bought me my first, I got a Scofield Bible. I got it for Father's Day. I got saved in January. Father's Day is what, March? June. I got that Bible in June. And I started reading that Bible, Brother Charles, and it's got footnotes, and it's got a concordance in the back, and I started looking all that stuff up, and I started learning things. You know what? I didn't know how to live as a Christian.
Come on, brother.
You know why people make this statement all the time? I'm afraid if I get saved, I couldn't live it. Because you ain't got a clue what you're getting into.
Amen.
Amen. And it requires an education. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Amen.
Who did he tell to do that? Those who are laden and labor and are heavy laden.
Amen.
Losing weight requires an education.
Yeah.
Losing weight requires some discipline.
Amen.
What was that other one I said? A burden. Boy, y'all really getting this. It takes a burden or a desire. Let me ask you something tonight. On the desire level of living for God, where are you at? I get tired of hearing people say, oh, I'd give anything if I knew the Bible like Brother Freddie. No, you wouldn't. Oh, I wish I knew the Bible like Brother Charles. No, you don't. You'd get in it like these guys have been in it. Amen? Amen. Listen to me carefully. Being overweight is unhealthy. Me and my wife, we watched last week The Real Biggest Loser. These people are near death. This one guy on that show, he weighed 600 and something pounds. Now that's big. Brother Rusty, you could look at him, feel pretty good about yourself, amen? 600 and something pounds. Before he started the contest, he had already lost 100 and something pounds. Man, this guy couldn't walk. They have a doctor come in and the doctor checks them out and they tell them their inner age. I don't remember what his real age was. Say his real age was 20-something. They said because of his health, his blood pressure, and all that stuff, because of the weight, that his inner age was of a 50-something-year-old man. They even gave one man his date of death. Did you know overweight causes diabetes? Overweight causes cardiovascular health problems. Overweight causes problem in the joints and the feet. Can you imagine weighing 600 pounds? It'd be like walking, me or Brother Freddie, walking around with a refrigerator on our back. I'm saying it's unhealthy. And if being overweight is unhealthy, being overweight in the things of this world is unhealthy for a Christian. There's some things that'll hinder your walk with God. There's some things that will hinder your mobility, your freedom as a Christian. Amen? If we're not careful, we go right back into the bondage of the things we left and weigh ourselves down again.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a desire to be a healthy Christian.
Amen.
Amen. If half your prayer time, if you, to get a hold of God, if you've got to spend an hour repenting first, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I know we ought to confess our sins daily, but the list shouldn't be a mile and a half long. Amen. There ought to be a point in our life where, hey, we're starting to get this. Not that I'm self-righteous or not that I'm holy and I'm self-proclaimed and I'm a super Christian, but I'm finally learning how to walk in the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We ought to be progressing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, if Rusty goes out there and gets on that scale tonight, he better have a minus in front of his name and not a plus. He's supposed to lose weight this week, not gain weight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. As we get saved, when we first get saved, man, we're excited. We want to read the Bible. We want to pray. I remember when I first got saved, I prayed for everybody I knew that was lost. Everybody I knew. If they was lost, I don't care if I ain't seen them in 10 years. Oh, God, please. You know what? I wanted them to feel what I felt.
Amen.
I wanted them to have what I felt.
Yes, sir.
I wanted them to have what I had. Amen. And boy, I just had a burden, man. I was excited. My friends would call, and they'd say, man, what's up? I'd say, let me tell you what's up. The Lord's up, man. And
yes.
They'd go, whoa, what happened to you? I said, man, I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember Stacy visited next door to my house one day years ago. Hadn't seen him in a long time, and that's back when he still had hair, I think. And old Stacy got out of his truck, and I run over and hollered at him. I was cutting grass, and he had old Budweiser in his hand. I believe it was Budweiser. It's a beer anyhow. And old Stacy said, hey, what in the blank you been up to? I said, man, I'm preaching the gospel. He went, what? Hey, man, you know what a thrill it is to me? Do you know what a thrill it is to me?
Yeah.
You say, why you talk about him all the time? And when Robert, you sit closer and talk, man, me and these guys grew up together.
Yeah.
You know what a thrill it is to take what God's given to me and share it with my friends? Hallelujah. That ain't nothing but a blessing, friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
when you first got saved, you were excited about that. But something happened. Something happened, and you ain't excited about it no more.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Used to, during the preaching, you'd say, whoo, boy, that's good preaching. Amen, brother. I mean, boy, it done something to you. Now you sit there like a knot on a log. Like a calf staring at a new gate. Amen. What happened? Used to, you'd sit there during the singing and big old tears run down your face. Amen. I mean, brother, things tore you up. I mean, it blew your mind what God had done in your life. Now you take it for granted.
Yes,
amen. Now, they've got their contest going on, and some of us feel left out. Perfect specimens like myself and Brother Freddie. We don't need to lose weight. We have tote rocks in our pockets now. Amen. Come up a good storm of wind, we might get picked up off the ground. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to lose weight. I'm glad, because it's hard.
Yes, sir.
And I've watched people go through it and struggle with it and struggle with their weight all their life. Well, let me, I got good news for you. Don't be jealous of the preacher. I struggle too.
Yeah.
Amen.
I struggle too. I don't struggle with food. I wish food was my only problem.
Amen.
Brother Freddie, I wish desserts was my only problem.
Yeah.
I wish worrying about gaining a pound or two was all I had to worry about in my life.
Yeah.
But I have things I struggle with.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you have things you struggle with.
Yes, sir.
So here's what I want to present to you tonight. Let's all join the Biggest Loser Club tonight. What if we had a weigh-in every week? You know what that is? That's accountability. They're going to go out there in a little while, and while we're selling cakes or during or after or before, and they're going to step up on a scale. And everybody in the group, the men's group and the ladies' group, everybody's going to look at that and know how good you did this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good, preacher. Amen.
How would you like to have a spiritual weigh-in right here every Sunday night? Yeah. What if we had a scale, Brother Freddie, we could step on?
Yeah.
And see if we're closer to God than we were last week. Well, wouldn't that be would that cause you to try a little harder?
Amen.
Amen. Would that cause you to pray a little more? I mean, brother, there ain't no way you can hide little Debbie's when you step on the scale.
Yeah.
It's going to show up.
Yes, brother.
Amen. There ain't no way you can hide your indulgence when you step on the scale. Hey, that sounds like the judgment seat of Christ to me. Amen. But boy, I tell you, it'd be good for us as Christians if we could have it weekly right here. Step up and go, oh, please, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. You know, before you step on them scales, you know whether it's going to be good or bad. Amen. You know whether it's going to be good or bad. You know if you've done good that week or bad that week. Amen. Hey, brother, there's weeks I wouldn't mind stepping up, but I've preached my heart out. I mean, brother, I've given all I've got. Okay, let's go ahead and weigh. I think I did okay. And then there's other weeks. I'm going to skip weighing in this week. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. I like that accountability of their contest. Amen. Amen. Let me give you some things. Whether you're overweight or not, as a Christian, we could all stand to lose. Some things we could all stand to lose. I guarantee you there's some areas in your life, there's some things in your life you could stand to lose. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, watch this. The Bible said, let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did Christ have? Here's number one thing you could lose tonight. You could lose the attitude. Have you ever looked at a rebellious teenager or a smart-mouthed teenager and said, hey, lose the attitude? Amen. Amen. I wonder if the Holy Ghost ever looks at us as Christians and says, hey, lose the attitude. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we'll lose the attitude. What kind of mind did Christ have? The Bible said in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus, God in the flesh, had to step down to become who he was. Wouldn't hurt you to come down off your high horse every now and then. Amen. We ought to have a good attitude as Christians. Amen. What kind of attitude did Jesus have? Listen, if you're not careful as a Christian and you've been saved an amount of time, you've gotten hurt somewhere along the way. How many of you have been wounded as a Christian by another Christian? Man, come on. Every one of us. Every one of us. I got on the internet and read things people were saying about me. Broke my heart. Wished I hadn't saw it. I really do. Because that stuff can have an effect on you. Amen. It can have a great effect on you. Over time, here's what we do. Bless God, ain't nobody else going to do me like that. We get an attitude. Do you know there's people sitting at home tonight because they're afraid, they're really afraid to get involved with another church because how somebody done them? Listen, the Christian life is not about how somebody does you. It's not about how somebody talks about you. We need to get the right attitude tonight. It's not about how many friends we attract as Christians. It's about pleasing God in the flesh and walking in the likeness of Christ and growing closer and closer to Him every day. Amen. Let me give you the attitude of Christ. Did He know He was going to be hurt? Come on. Bible said He set His face like a flint toward Calvary. Amen. He tried to tell His disciples what was coming. He tried to tell them nobody got it.
Amen, preacher.
A sorry old thief on the cross understood it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. He knew he was fixing to die, but he knew he was going to get up.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the attitude Jesus had. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Suffering, bleeding, and dying, bearing my sin and yours. John, go home with Mama.
Yes.
Mama, go home with John. John, would you take care of my Mama?
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Suffering, bleeding, and dying. How dare you do me this way? Never came out of his mouth. I didn't do anything wrong. This ain't fair. Never came out of his mouth. I'll tell you what did. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Woo, boy, what an attitude. God, give me an attitude like that. Help me to lose the bad attitude and help me to develop a right attitude.
Amen.
You know what? As long as you're involved with people, somebody ain't going to like you.
Amen.
I had a guy ask me from the First Baptist Church of, I forgot the name of it, Wednesday night. They brought their teenagers. They were in shock. Ain't never heard nothing like this, and they're alive. They're used to Dr. Bottle Stopper. That guy said, if I talk to my pastor, would you agree to come preach in our church? I said, brother, you might want to get your pastor to listen to me on the internet first. Yeah. Everybody ain't going to like you.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to accept you.
Amen.
Join the club. I got my feelings hurt. You know what that is? That's the world's smallest violin, friend.
Amen.
Join the stinking club.
Amen.
Somebody talked about you.
Amen.
Don't. You know what the devil wants? He wants you to develop an attitude, put up walls and not let nobody in and not trust anybody. You'll never do anything for God with that attitude.
Amen.
You know what Jesus was? He was wide open, friend.
Amen.
He was wide open. He said, I'm going to love you though you slay me.
Amen.
You know what he called Judas Iscariot? Judas came in the garden. Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. What was the statement he made? He called him a friend. When he came in the garden, he called him friend. I'm trying to remember the exact words he said. He said, do what you come to do there, friend.
Amen.
Wow. I don't think he was being smart aleck, Brother Freddie.
Amen, sir.
I don't think he was. I think he loved him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I think he loved him. Listen, we've got to develop the attitude that people are people no matter what. I don't care how long they've been saved or how long they've been in church, they all come up short somewhere, some way, somehow.
Amen.
And they're going to hurt our feelings in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
You know what we need to do? We need to get over it.
Amen.
I want to have a good attitude.
Yes, sir.
I want to have a good attitude.
Amen.
Dr. Ruckman and them have to have their big meeting down there, and they call it the Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout. Is that right? Did I say it right? And I understand where they're coming from, and I'm for them. I love them to death. But I don't want to have a bad attitude.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I want to have a good attitude.
Yes, sir.
Toward people.
Yes.
I want to have a good attitude toward the ministry.
Amen.
I want to have a good attitude toward church.
Yes.
I want to have a good attitude toward the world.
Yes, sir.
Some Christians have developed such a self-righteous attitude, they don't love the world. They don't love people anymore.
Amen.
They hate them. They look down their nose at them.
Amen.
They spend their entire life like a sourpuss sitting around judging everybody else.
Yes,
wrong attitude, friend.
Amen.
Wrong attitude.
Amen.
What if when Judas came along, Jesus said, I ain't having nothing to do with you. You're going to sell me out. Peter, hit the road, Jack. I know the future. You're going to deny me.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with you.
Come on,
but that wasn't his attitude, was it? He knew Peter would deny him. He knew Judas would sell him for 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah. Amen.
If you knew what people were going to say about you in advance, you'd just walk up and punch somebody in the mouth and they'd say, what'd you do that for? Because what you going to say next week? Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
We could, as Christians, it would help us spiritually if we just lose the attitude. If we just lose the attitude. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I mean Ephesians this time. Jeremiah. Ephesians chapter number 4. I said number 1. I came up with a whole long list of things. We could preach a month long series on some things we ought to lose.
Amen.
Amen. I mean some things we ought to just get rid of.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
I had ant hills in my yard. You know what it did? I stuck a piece of copper pipe as far down in as I could. I pulled the pipe out and I filled a hole full of gas. Why? I wanted rid of them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I wanted rid of them. Why? They're useless and they're doing me no good. And if I step in them, they're going to do me harm.
Yeah.
And there's some things that we've got in our hearts and our lives, some things that we're harboring that are doing us no good. Spiritually, they're doing us harm.
Yes.
They're like the fat in the arteries of every human being that is clogging the flow.
Yes.
Amen. You know what causes a heart attack? Plaque builds up in your arteries.
Yes.
and it stops the flow of the blood to the heart. I wonder if our spiritual arteries are so packed up that the Holy Spirit, we don't even hear Him when He speaks anymore.
Amen.
We sit there when the preaching is hitting us right between the eyes. We're going, amen. Boy, I hope so-and-so's listening. Come on, I'm right about it, friend. I've had some of you come up to me after church after I know God has peeled your hide. And you've actually made statements like, boy, Brother Eddie, I wish so-and-so would get a copy of that CD. And I'm like, I wish you'd get a copy. Amen. We need to lose the attitude. Let me tell you something else would help you spiritually. You remember when you got saved? Come on. Remember when you got saved? Remember when you got up off the ground after you prayed? Do you remember how you felt? I mean, almost like you just float away. You know what that was? That was all that junk that was gone. You went down broken, weighted down, carrying the weight of your guilt and your sin and your shame. But you come up, all that stuff is gone. Don't tell me you can't feel it when you get saved. Amen. You take all that weight off of somebody. Man, when you start taking these things off of a Christian, you know what they do? They get loose. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number, I think it's 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31. Now watch this one. Some of you need to really, really highlight, underscore this verse in your Bible. Let all, say it with me. Let all bitterness and what?
Wrath.
And wrath and what else?
Anger
and what?
Anger.
And what else?
Evil.
What are we supposed to do with it? Put away from you with all malice. You lose 100 pounds right there. Amen. You lose 100 pounds right there. We ought to lose the attitude and we ought to lose the bitterness in our life. Bitterness is an all-time number one Christian killer. Amen. Hey, we've had people get mad and leave this church. I see them in Walmart. I don't avoid them. Somebody I know don't like me, I chase them down with a buggy. I know they saw me. I know that. You ever had that happen? Somebody at Walmart, you know they saw you, and they ducked down an aisle. I run down the other end. Hey, how are you? Amen. You know why? I ain't got no problem with them. They the ones got the problem. I ain't bitter. Somebody made this statement. I'm going to be real careful right here. No, I ain't. I'm just going to put it out there. Because you might make this statement the next week or two. Well, bless God, I'd come back to church. Brother Eddie would come see me. I didn't go nowhere. I'm still where you left. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? You know what you want? You want somebody to go, oh, it's all right. I'm sorry. That's what we want. We want somebody to come pet us, tell us we're okay when we're not. What if the preacher did fulfill your request and come tell you what the problem is? I'm going to tell you why you're out of church. You backslid. You're not right with God. You're full of bitterness and anger and malice. And if you'd get all that stuff out of your heart, you'd be in church somewhere worshiping God. Woo, Brother Eddie, that's good preaching. Why don't you lose it tonight? Some of you are holding a grudge. You've let bitterness creep into your heart. You know what bitterness causes? It causes hardness. Where the Holy Spirit used to have free course, it's like hitting a brick wall when He gets to your heart. We all right? Oh, this ain't shouting, jumping up and down kind of preaching. We're trying to lose weight in here tonight. Amen. I'd like to come floating in Wednesday night instead of dragging in, wouldn't you? Amen. Won't we lose the bitterness? What are you bitter about? You know what? This is what I've noticed over the years, Brother Charles, in counseling and dealing with people. They come and they sit down in my office and their brother so-and-so did this and brother so-and-so did that. And it finally dawned on me to ask them, hey, excuse me, brother, what are you really mad about? What's really your problem?
Yes,
the bitterness is a symptom of what's wrong with you beforehand. If you weren't bitter to begin with, you wouldn't jump down everybody's throat every time they don't do like you think they ought to do. Every time they talk about you behind your back. There's a problem beforehand. What are you mad at? Daddy didn't hold you when you was a baby? Sometimes there's real legitimate problems that you need to deal with.
Amen.
It could be Uncle So-and-so put his hands where they didn't belong when you was a little girl.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, bro.
I'm just being blunt tonight. I've dealt with that over 1,000 times sitting right there in my office. I know. I used to think maybe that was 1 in 100 that happened. No, it's... Mm-mm. This world's full of sick-minded perverts that ought to be shot on the town square. And what that does, it damages the rest of the life. Listen to me, ladies. Look at me. You didn't do nothing wrong. The problem's not yours. It's whoever messed with you. What you need to do is let that go. Because it's not your problem. It's theirs. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I've seen victory.
Amen.
Because you're still so bitter about that, you can't even have the right relationship with your spouse.
That's the truth, bro.
Can't get along with other people. If my own family would do me like that, how in the world can I trust strangers?
Yeah. Good preaching, bro. Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yes.
Bitterness will hurt you.
Yes.
Bitterness will hurt you bad. But now, the attitude and the bitterness... The attitude comes from people doing you wrong. The bitterness comes from people doing you wrong. You get rid of it. Pay close attention, please. You're going to get talked about again. And you're going to get hurt again. But you've got to keep getting up and dusting yourself off and shaking it off and saying, I'm not going to let that rob my joy. I'm not going to let that take my happiness. It's not my problem. God, please help them. And if somebody gossips about you and it's true gossip, repent. I don't think you ought to spread news about nobody, about nothing.
Amen.
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 Amen. I believe Proverbs talks about concealing the matter.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's not our job to broadcast everybody's faults.
Amen.
How would you like it if we done it to you? Let's just pick us a candidate. Poor old Brother Shane. You trying to interrupt me while I'm preaching? Poor Brother Shane, been through everything in the world. I bet as much as I've talked to Shane, I know some stuff about him that you don't. Now, wouldn't that be dirty and wicked if I picked a Sunday night and said, we're going to preach on the faults of Shane Reese tonight? Wouldn't that be mean?
Yeah.
Nod your head if you can't say amen.
Amen.
Well, why do you do it? You doing it on Facebook. Ain't no different than me doing it in the pulpit. Y'all okay? That causes us to get bitter. That causes us to get an attitude. You're going to get hurt again. Make up your mind. I'm not going to let what other people say or do, their words or their actions, I'm not going to let that affect my relationship with God. And with an attitude and with bitterness, you cannot have the right relationship with God, because as you're blocking everybody else out, that wall does not say keep out unless you're the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It just says keep out.
Amen.
Amen. When you block out everybody else, you're blocking God out as well. Amen. Some of you know that. Some of y'all took a spiritual sledgehammer and tore your walls down. Amen. God gave the tears back. God gave the joy back. Amen. God gave the shout back. God gave the victory back. But if you ain't careful, you'll take a trowel and some cement and some bricks, and brick by brick, every time the feelings get hurt, you're stacking another one on the wall. You can rebuild what you've already tore down. You can lose the attitude and feel a whole lot better. You know the first thing overweight people say when their weight starts coming off? I cannot believe how much better I feel. Talk to me, Brother Danny. Is the health even better? Wow. I can't believe that big guy I was telling you about, his name, I think, is Arthur. That guy's name's Arthur. 600 and something pounds, man. That's five and a half of me. I mean, that's a bunch, brother. When they first showed him, when he walked, I ain't talking about exercise. I'm talking about walking from his little apartment to his truck. About a week in that camp, getting on that treadmill every day, working out every day, you wouldn't bob bleed, man. You can't hear him breathe now. I'm telling you, make a difference. You'll feel better.
Amen.
When you start getting some of this stuff out of your life that ought not to be there, you'll feel better.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4. Go right back to your right. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. This is some of that helpful preaching. This is some of that preaching that you don't just say, amen, brother, that's good preaching, and that's all it does. This is that preaching you can apply to your life, and it'll make a difference in you tomorrow. Amen. If you'll apply it. And not just say amen. And not say, I wish so-and-so would have been here to hear that. Philippians chapter 4. Listen, number one, I said we'll lose the attitude. We'll lose the bitterness. Listen, we'll lose the bad thought process. Some of us are spiritually messed up because of the way we think. Now, I'm going to read the verse so most of you know where I'm going. But listen, you automatically think the worst in everybody. You women, you develop a whole attitude about somebody first time you see them when they walk in the door because color dress they got on. Or because she's got on white shoes after Labor Day. Don't tell me y'all don't do that. My wife's looking at me like, don't you do it, don't you do it. We're on a train at the airport. A woman she ain't ever seen before. She said, I can't believe she done that. I said, what she did? She's got on white shoes after Labor Day. Amen. That's the way our minds work. We're prone to think like that. Amen. An old fella can walk in here. I'm going to tell you how bad we are to judge. An old fella could walk in here with a scraggly beard, a pair of overalls, brogan boots. You think, boy, we ought to take up a love offering for him. Clyde Cole. Brother Stacy and I grew up with his grandson, David. Brother Clyde Cole was a dairy farmer. Got more money and Carter had a little liver pills. Clyde go, was it every year, Stacy, and buy a new truck? Every year he'd go and buy a new truck. He'd walk in his old dairy farming clothes, look rough as a cob, and he'd start looking at them trucks. I remember one year he went to Dodge place. They'd opened a brand new Dodge place in Dallas. Won't never forget it. He walked around, looked at a truck, and a fella come around and said, can I help you? Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
He said, I want to look at this truck right here. He said, well, help yourself. He said, no, I won't drive it. He said, wait a minute, before you drive the truck, can you arrange financing for this truck? He said, I believe I can. He said, how would you finance it? Credit union, your bank? He said, no, I got it right here in the middle of my overalls. That guy got real interested. Let me get you the key, sir.
Yeah.
Amen. We develop an attitude about people before we even know who they are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're measuring them up.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Lose the attitude. Lose the bitterness. And lose the bad thoughts out of your mind.
Amen.
What did I say? Ephesians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I don't know where I want to be, amen? Hey, they both good. Look at verse number 8, where Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
Whatsoever things are what?
Honest.
Whatsoever things are what?
Just.
Whatsoever things are what?
Pure.
Whatsoever things are what?
Lovely.
Whatsoever things are of what? Wow. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, watch this. What's the next word?
Think
on these things. Do you ever fight your thought process?
Yes, sir.
You're thinking about somebody or you're thinking about something, you know you're wrong.
Yes,
if you're not careful, the devil will cause you to dwell on bad thoughts
yes,
when there's plenty of good things to think about.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
I'm not going to dwell about somebody bashing me on the internet. I'm not going to dwell on it. Why not? I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to heaven. What am I doing? I'm thinking about whatsoever things are true.
Yeah.
Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are of good report.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
I got healthy children.
Amen.
Amen,
brother.
I got some under the weather, but I mean, I got healthy children.
Amen, preacher.
Better than that, I got saved children.
Yeah.
I got a good church.
Amen.
I've got good friends. It never fails before I leave to go out of town. Brother Tommy calls me. Brother, you need anything? Checks on me. Sheila will leave me a message on my answer machine. She hadn't done it in a while. Hurts my feelings. She'll leave me a message on my answer machine. Boy, we sure miss our preacher. So-and-so did a good job, but we want you to hurry up and get home. Brother, I love that.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I love my church. I've got better things to think about.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I got better things to think about than what's wrong.
Amen.
There's enough that's right. There's enough that's good. Our buses ran this morning.
Yes, sir.
Little boys and girls heard the gospel this morning.
Amen, bro.
Amen. Yes. I want to think about that. You know what I keep trying to think about? That little girl laying in that altar crying, "Oh God, save my mommy. Please, Lord, don't let my mama burn in hell."
Yeah.
Woo! I keep thinking about that.
Wow,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good thing.
Amen,
I think about Ashley Hofford, cancer-free from head to toe.
Amen.
That's a good thing.
Yes,
you've got enough good to think about. Why don't you drive the garbage out of your mind?
Amen, preacher.
Drive the garbage. Hey, tell your phone buddy and your Facebook buddy that your ears and your eyes is not their garbage can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Trying to remember who it was the other day. Made a bunch of people mad. Oh, I know who it was. Made a bunch of people mad because they went bleep, bleep, bleep. I guess that, I don't know if it makes that sound when you delete somebody off your Facebook. Did you know you can do that? You can cut them off. I like it. I don't like your conversation. Bleep. And then they get all swole up and mad. Who gives a rip? If what they're saying is affecting you or even has the potential to affect you
Amen.
Spiritually,
yes.
Yeah.
Amputate it.
Yeah.
Cut them off.
Right.
So-and-so won't speak to me because I defriended them. Hate it, like it, lump it, bump it, jump it, whatever you got to do. But you do not need to be reading that stuff.
That's right.
Amen. I had one man all blowed up like a toad frog, mad. Ain't never coming back to church. Blah, 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 'cause some teenage girl wouldn't accept him as a friend. I find out some of you men trying to be friends with these girls around here, I'm coming after you myself.
Amen.
Hey, man, you ain't got no business talking to a teenage girl, dude. Don't get mad when her daddy says no. Get an attitude over it. Problem started before you ever asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you try thinking on these things?
Yes, sir, bro.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. Why don't you try thinking on these things? Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are true. I know I'm not getting them in order. But we've got plenty of good things to think about.
Yes, sir, we do.
You know the devil will use your mind. I remember back when we was in the old building, I was trying to remember exactly who it was, but I wouldn't call their name if I did. They just started coming to our church. And they cornered me up. And they said, "Preacher, I love the church, but I'm having a serious problem. Honest for God, y'all gonna think I'm making this up." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "It's that man that leads the singing." I said, "Really?" I said, "You talking about Brother Charles?" "Yeah, yeah, that's his name." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "He don't like me." I said, "Brother, you've been in the Garden of Eden listening to snake talk."
Amen, brother.
I said, "Let me tell you something, son. I know that man. Yeah. And I don't even have to go ask him, 'Brother Charles, do you dislike this guy?'
Yeah.
I know better."
Yeah.
He let the devil get in his head.
Yeah.
The devil ever done that to you?
Yes. Come on, preacher.
Yes, sir.
So-and-so they turned around when they saw you coming. Maybe they had something on their mind.
Yeah, amen.
You know, so-and-so didn't even really seem real friendly to you today. Has the devil ever done you like that?
Yeah.
They didn't even ask how you were doing.
Yeah.
They usually hang out and talk with you a little bit. Come today on. They didn't pay you no attention.
Come on, bro.
Maybe something's wrong with them.
Yeah, amen.
Maybe they've got some bad news. Maybe their marriage is in trouble. You don't know.
That's right. Yeah, amen. Amen, bro. Amen, preacher.
You're the right. Devil will put thoughts in your mind.
Yes, he will.
Y'all all right? I had one lady tell me she's leaving the church because somebody didn't like her kid. I said, ma'am, it could be me.
Amen.
They don't take them out of school. I guarantee you there's somebody down there that don't like them.
Yeah.
The devil will put all kind of thoughts in you. I'm trying to be careful right here, but he will.
Amen.
He'll put all kind of thoughts in your
Amen.
Mind. Amen. If your kid's out of line, child, if your child's out of line, I don't care who the adult, and I was raised this way. I don't care who the adult figure is who said, hey, stop that. Parents, that shouldn't make you mad. You ought to teach your child, hey, you need to respect adults.
That's right. That's the truth.
This is where kids get the attitude. I ain't got to mind you. You ain't my mama. Well, come on, you little twerp. I'll take you by the ear, and I'll take you to your mama and say, you either jack his jaw or I'm going to.
That's the truth, bro.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Amen. You know the bad thing about growing up in church without a daddy? Everybody's, oh, poor Eddie, he ain't got no daddy. Right. I had a deacon board. I had Sammy Cole and Ollie Matthews and Kenneth Core, and every time I turn around, every one of them whooped me. Amen. Mama never took up for me one time. I have a problem now because of that. Ollie Matthews would go to my mama and say, Sandra, I had to whoop Eddie out there in the RAs tonight. She didn't say, what'd he do? She said, well, good. How about that? Man, we're living in a different world.
Yeah.
Brother Greg, you remember Doug Baxter? Brother Robert, remember Doug Baxter? Smoked a cigar that big around. Left it laying on the steps. He'd pull it out of his mouth, put it on the steps before he went in church. He walked in, he had him a stick long enough to reach all the way to the middle of any aisle in the junior church. And if you wasn't paying attention while they was preaching, he took that stick and whack, right on top of your head. You go home, mama say, how was junior church today? Brother Doug hit me with a stick. Good. Amen. Hey, I appreciate if somebody loves my kid enough to tell them shut up and sit down.
Amen.
I don't mind getting on your young'un. Amen. Man, these kids right here are my friends. I went to get Hayden the other day at school, and I walked into the learning center where all these guys were. I walked in the door, and they, Brother Larry, they're the principal. Hey, when you're there, he's the man, okay? I don't care who walks in the door. I walked in the door, every one of them jumped up and come running at me. And you have to raise your flag before you get up. I'm like, hey, y'all sit down, y'all sit down, y'all sit down. Yeah. Amen. We ought to respect, our children ought to be taught to respect Amen. The authority yeah. in their life. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Was that needful, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was. Hey, I don't care. I don't care if Brother Freddie, Brother Rusty, Brother Tommy, Brother Warren, they're cleaning up out here in the gym. Do you have food out in the gym? I don't think our ladies ought to be taking out garbage.
Amen.
It doesn't bother me one bit if one of our men holler at one of my kids and say, hey, you get over and get that garbage and take it out.
Amen.
No, don't bother me none. We've raised a generation of kids that'll sit on the bleachers and watch old ladies do the work.
Amen.
Boy, that's good right there, preacher. Amen. I'm just saying, lose the bad thoughts.
Yeah.
You know how much better you'd feel if you didn't have bad thoughts?
Yeah, amen.
You know when I get them the worst?
Yeah.
Somebody help me. Yep, you pray too, huh? When I'm praying. Have you ever got bad thoughts during the preaching? A lady came to me years ago, and she said, her and her husband both together, and I won't tell you what she said, but she said, I'm having a problem. She said, the devil keeps putting a certain thought in my mind while the preacher's preaching. She said, and I ain't getting nothing. She said, all I keep seeing is that. I said, you're going to have to pray that God would bind that spirit and drive it away from you. Amen? And brother, there's something she had to work on. You have to fight your mind. Amen? Whew. Matthew chapter 6. Almost done. Can y'all handle a little bit, just a little bit more? Matthew chapter number 6. How many of us, be honest, say, I need to lose a little weight? I remember a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Mama had her ever so often regular heart problem. And we were at Piedmont, and they put a stent in, they done something. And she had to go to a class, and they show you all these vials and stuff. You know what has more junk that's bad for your heart in it than anything? One Krispy Kreme donut. That'd blow your mind. How could something so good be so bad? But it will. It'll fill up one of them whole vials, Brother Freddie. More than a Whopper or a Big Mac. Yeah. One donut. But anyway, we're talking to this lady who I think she's the one that taught the class. And Mama's laying there, and she's talking about cholesterol. And she's talking to the whole family. She said, you need to have that stuff checked. I said, not me. She said, don't you think for 1 second because you're slim that you ain't got a problem. In other words, you may look fine on the outside, but death may be hiding on the inside. I preached a message one time, the problem of the heart, or the heart of the problem, is the problem of the heart. Y'all remember that? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's what's wrong. Amen? Listen, we ought to lose the attitude. We ought to lose the bitterness. We ought to lose the bad thoughts. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 14. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 14. Watch this. The Lord said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Isn't that good? Now here's the opposite of that. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many of you want and need forgiveness from time to time? If you want to get it, you better give it. Amen. Some of us are harboring unforgiveness as we speak. You'll never forget what so-and-so did to you. You better forgive them. You better forgive them. I don't want to re-preach. I've preached this 1,000 different ways. I think it's one of our biggest problems. Why can't you be spiritual enough to have a conflict, resolve it, and get over it, and go on?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You big baby. Well, bless God, if they'd come and ask me, I'd forgive them. No, you wouldn't. If you were going to forgive them, you would have done it already. If you were going to sincerely forgive that person for whatever they did. I remember I preached the message years ago, and I wish I could find it and make a CD. It's on cassette somewhere. Brother Freddie might remember it. Digging out the root of bitterness. And I had a lady in our church who heard that message. She went home and called a family member. She's in heaven now. She called a family member who had done her in a very bad way when she was younger. Did you know they pretended they didn't even know what she was talking about? She said, Brother Eddie, they pretended like they didn't even know. She said, all these years, it's been killing me. And they've gone right on with their life.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
I preached a message on forgiveness one night. I think it was forgiveness. I believe it was Sister Linda went to the nursing home. Who was it? Your grandma? Her mother. made, I believe she made things right with her mother and was able to lead her to Christ. Am I telling that right? I believe that's right. Wow. All over getting that load off. Sometimes we need to forgive people for our own sake. Whether they get it right or not. You make peace with it. We okay? Just get on this altar now. Hey, this is easy to preach. I don't have a bit of problem preaching this. I have a little more trouble practicing it. Amen? You know what? Here's how I have to do it. God, Lord, help me. I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. I know what's right. I know what to do. But Lord, how to do it, I'm having a hard time finding it. Please help me, God. Give me a spirit of forgiveness. Amen. Well, that'd be a big weight we could lose. Can I give you one more? Some of you got some tonight, somebody you need to forgive. Some action, some act that somebody's committed against you, you need to forgive. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Watch this. Now stay with me just a minute. I'm not being mean tonight, but y'all ever watch those marathons? I watched the Iron Man on television here a while back. You know what the Iron Man is? That's one of the toughest races in all the world. They run so many miles, they ride a bike so many miles, and they swim so many miles. Brother Todd and I, Ashley's husband, our piano player, we're going to start as soon as the weather breaks, and we're going to train, and me and him's going to do a triathlon. Same thing, but on a smaller scale. We're going to do that. I watch those races. I love to watch those road races where people run. Do you know I've never seen big people in the race? Never seen big folks in a triathlon. Why? They're not physically able to run the race. And if we've got a race set before us to run for God, and if spiritually we're not in shape, we're not going to be able to run that race. Would you agree? I wonder how many of us as Christians, I mean, brother, we've still got a long way to go, but we're winded. Our side's hurting. I started riding that bicycle, man. There was days I thought I would die. You know what? Since it got cold and since I got sick, I even brought an indoor trainer so I could ride it in the house. But I've slacked off. You know what I'm dreading? Getting back on. Them thighs ain't as hard as they was. I might start over. Amen? I'm afraid we've got a lot of saved people, truly born again, but they're laying on their back on the sideline somewhere because they were so out of shape they fell out of the race. Watch what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's our cheering crowd. Amen. Watch what he said. Let us lay aside every what?
Wait.
Say it again. Every what?
Wait.
Let us lay aside every what?
Wait.
You know what they do when you start building? Always wanted to build a drag car. Brother Stacy, they got them cars that go round and round, dirt track cars. I like them too. But I always like them drag cars. You know the first thing to do, you start building a race car, start pulling the weight out of it. Why? Because it can run better. It can run better. It can perform better if it's not weighted down.
Amen.
You know, some cars are just for show. That's like a whole lot of Christians I know. They're too weighted down to run any kind of race. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Boy, I wish it stopped right there. And what's the next word? What does it do to us? Which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We could go through a lot of other things tonight. But if we could lose the attitude, the bitterness, the bad thoughts, the unforgiveness, and I think mostly the sin. Now watch this. Every point before this one falls under this one. A bad attitude is a sin. Bitterness is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Is that right? Those are personal sins. They're sins of omission. Y'all know what omission is? What you've neglected in your life. Some of you are not backslid because of what you're doing. You're backslid because of what you're not doing. Did you know that's my biggest struggle? Not what I do, but what I don't do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's what? Anybody know the rest of that verse? It's sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have sins of omission, but then we have those sins of commission.
Yes, sir.
What we've done. How many of you would agree your sin will weigh you down?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I watch people in our church, and I have for years. I watch people who get on fire for God and excited, but then they start hanging out with certain individuals. I watch them, they come to the altar less and less and less.
Go ahead, preacher.
They don't get excited anymore. What? It's the sin creeping back.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Listen, I ain't no better than you. I sin every day. I mess up. You know what I have to do? Lord, forgive me. Amen. Lord, I had bitterness today. Lord, that bitterness tried to creep in today. I had some bad thoughts about people today. Lord, I want to slap somebody today. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I wanted to get on that internet. I'm serious. I really thought about, I had it all worded out in my mind. And I kept reading. Somebody saw what was written and did it for me. Amen. Somebody who knew what they were talking about. The people making the comments on the internet have no idea. I tell you what they said. They're talking about how bad a church this is. Because we won't let people come through the door, a lady if she's got on a pair of pants. If a man's got long hair, we turn them away at the door. They were saying that kind of stuff, Brother Fred. We're probably the worst dressed church in town. Amen. Dude said we wouldn't let him come here because he wore blue jeans. If I said everybody's got blue jeans on, get up and get out of here right now, I'd be preaching to Brother Fred and Brother Charles. Amen. That's just a lie. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? The Bible said, answer not a fool according to his folly.
Yes,
that's amazing. That verse just popped in my head. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Amen. And I just shook that thing off and got over it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sin. Personal. I don't think you ought to get up and advertise your sin.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me. I'm struggling with. Just struggling will suffice.
Yeah.
It's not me you need to tell about your sin. It's the Holy Ghost. It's God. Amen.
Amen.
Some churches, they find out you ain't doing right. They make you get up and tell all about it in church. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
They call it making acknowledgement. I call it airing your dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I remember a young lady in our church got pregnant. And they made her stand up, tell everybody she'd had sex out of wedlock and was pregnant. They'd tell her, how about just saying I've messed up, church, forgive me. It's going to be evident.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Y'all all right? That's just people feeling good about looking down their nose at somebody else.
Amen.
Let's get our sin dealt with. Amen. Let's lose some weight. Who wants to be the biggest loser tonight?
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Good preaching, brother. Amen.
Wouldn't it be good? Listen to me. And I'm going to end it on this note. Wouldn't it be good if Brother Rusty lost the most weight?
Yeah.
That'd tickle me to death to see you lose that $100. But what if you got right with God on top of that?
Oh, amen.
Wow. I'm not beating him up. I'm just serious. Wouldn't it be something to meet your physical goal, but also meet your spiritual goal?
Yeah, yes, sir.
To be healthy and fit and right with God all at the same time?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let's stand our feet all over the house. Miss Janice, you come if you would. I wonder who will be the biggest loser. I promise it won't be you if you're not making an effort. If you ain't got a burden and a want to and a desire. If you don't educate yourself on how to deal with it, you won't lose it. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? To lose that physical weight, sometimes it takes months and months and months. But some of the stuff I talked about losing tonight, you can lose it right here. You can go to that gym and bid on a cake without what you walked in with. You can leave it right here in this altar tonight. Amen. Miss Janice, if you'd sing us a verse. God, dealing with your heart, you come. You mind the Lord.